we're continuing our study on 1 John, knowing and growing. Last week, Brother Michael, he spoke on 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was going to do that. I thought he was going to talk about 1 through 10. So I was looking at verses 11, and then he's like, you got to do 4 through 10 now. And so I was like, that's great. Thank you. So on your way in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, I want you to know that this can be a challenging part of the Bible to read, at least for me. It can be very, very challenging, and you can be very hard on yourself while reading this passage of Scripture. The other day I was talking to my friend Eric. I have a lot of friends, y'all. But I was talking to my friend Eric, and we were talking about the different voices that we read the Bible in sometimes, like if we're happy or sad. I know some of y'all are looking at me crazy, but like we have a reading voice, y'all know what I mean? Like in our head that we read the Bible in. And so I try to read this passage of Scripture in a happy tone, in a sad tone, angry tone, try to get it all so I can understand what it's really trying to say. So let's stand as we read 1 John chapter 3, 4 through 10. And it says this: everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for what your word says. Lord, I just ask that you speak to us tonight, Lord, that the message that is spoken through me, Lord, is yours. And it is to glorify you, and it is to help us get closer to you, Lord. So we love you. See you in your name, I pray. Amen. So I titled this text, The Reality of Sin. Obviously, because it talks about sin. It's very easy to read this and read this from a perfectionistic mindset if we're not careful. At least that's what I do. There are verses in here that are not to be ignored, right? And when I read these verses, it makes me want to get right. But perfectionism is not what we're called to do. It's not what we're called to be. We're called to have a relationship with Jesus. But when I look at verses like verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Or when I look at verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. At first glance, I can read these verses and I think, oh man, I got to get right. You know, that's what I do. That's what I naturally do. These verses remind me of just like kind of being caught when I was younger. Like me and my brother, we would be outside, you know, after school when we're supposed to be inside cleaning up the house. And, you know, we see our mom driving in down the road in our neighborhood, and we just freak out. And so we run inside really quick and we act like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we're not. We act like we're cleaning. My brother's got a trash bag. You know, I'm putting trash in there, but my mom, she knows what's up. She knows what's going on. That's kind of what these verses like point out to me. They're just like, what are you doing? You know? And so, John, though, in this passage of Scripture, he like oftentimes writes in a perfectionistic way. But then sometimes he doesn't. So like, if we were to look at chapter 1, verse 8, it says this: if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right? So we know that we can't say that we have no sin, But we know right here that we shouldn't be sinning. So it's like, what do we do? Right? It's almost like a catch-22. But I believe the point that John is trying to make right here is this. I know that you are sinful. But if you believe in Jesus, you should not continue on sinning. Not in a perfectionistic way, but in a way of genuinely trying to lean on Christ for the sake of defeating sin struggles in your life. I've given you the answer. That is what we're going to talk about today. The sin struggles in our life. So the first point that I want to raise to your attention is, what are you practicing? What are you practicing? There's a basketball player. His name is Allen Iverson. Y'all know Allen Iverson? Crossover, right? He did crossover with Michael Jordan. Really famous. But in one interview that he had, a reporter asked him about practice. And he said, practice? Why does that matter? We're talking about practice, right? But I'm asking you, what are you practicing? What are you doing? Because our practice matters in our life. What we do matters in our life. When we go home, when we're at work, what are you doing? Who are you? Where's your thought process? It starts with lawlessness. That's what John starts with in this passage, lawlessness. And lawlessness is living as though your own ideas are superior to God's. Lawlessness says, God may demand it, but I don't prefer it. Lawlessness says, God may promise it, but I don't want it. Lawlessness replaces God's law with my contrary ideas. I become a law to myself. We become a law to ourselves. We can absolutely miss the mark of God, of what He wants for us in our everyday lives, if we don't have Him in our everyday lives. Growing up, I wanted to do the right thing when my dad was around, right? But when my dad left, I didn't care. That's what lawlessness says. Like, you just don't care about what God thinks. When my dad was gone, I thought I could talk back to my mom. I thought I could play my video games longer than what I could or what I should be doing. I was living by my rules and not His. We cannot live like God doesn't have rules for us or doesn't want us to live a certain lifestyle. We can't make our own rules and expect God to come alongside of us. So what are we practicing? Have you ever tried to invite God into your own lifestyle? How does that work for you? You say, hey God, I'm going to keep doing these things that I want to do. And I'm also going to love you. Hey God, I know I shouldn't be listening to this music because it doesn't glorify you, but it's just this one time that I'm going to do this. Hey God, I know that I shouldn't watch this movie because it has nothing to do about bringing you glory, and it also actually has bad stuff in it, but I'm going to do it anyway just this once, God. Just this once. But it doesn't glorify you. You know how many times I've said just this once? I'll do it just this once. I know God doesn't want me to watch this thing or listen to this thing. Just this once. But that once turns into multiple times. Instead of inviting God into our lifestyles, our response to lawlessness should be, God, how can I serve you with my life? God, how can I glorify you with my life? Lord, lead me. Lord, direct me. It would be different if we didn't know who God was. I don't know, this microphone's moving on me again. All right. It would be different if we didn't know who God was. It would be different if we didn't know who Jesus was. But in verse 5, it says, you know that He appeared in order to take away sins. And in Him there is no sin. So you know what Christ has done. So now that we know, what are we doing? What are we practicing? Is your guard up or is your guard down? Is your lifestyle reflecting that of Christ? Not only do we need to look at what we're practicing, but we need to look at the way or direction of how to practice. I tried so hard, I think I accomplished it, but I really wanted to name this bullet point like our way out. But Christ at the end is not a way out. Christ is the way. He is the way. So, Yeah. to realize we have a way, but if you're caught up in the rut of life, sometimes we can forget that we have a way out. But in verse 6 it says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So here's a reminder for us all. Sin can be defeated if we remain in Christ. That's what that word abide means. To remain. So every hour, every minute, every second of our day, if we can remain in Christ, we'll be all right. We need to believe that God is better than anything that this world has to offer to us. Because he is. It is so easy to get caught up in this world and what this world would say is good for us, like entertainment, wealth, drugs. But we have to remind ourselves that God is better than any of that. And we have to remind ourselves often, all the time, that he is. God is better than our family. God is better than relationships. He's better than retirement. God is the best. God is everything. If you look at Colossians 3:2, it says, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And then Romans 12:2, as Brother Doug talked about this morning, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He is good. He is better than everything. We just have to remain in him. John goes a little bit deeper here in verse 7, and he says, little children, let no one deceive you. Do not be deceived. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Following God doesn't start with our outer appearance. It starts with our inner appearance. And when we're alone, right? What do we practice like when nobody's looking? It's easy to kind of put on a show when people are looking. They're like, what are you doing when no one's around? I believe that John right here is talking to false teachers. And here he's saying, whoever isn't practicing righteousness and is acting righteous is not righteous at all. Let me say that again. Whoever isn't practicing righteousness and is acting righteous is not righteous at all, because what they are doing in their lifestyle doesn't reflect what they are presenting. It's almost like going to a fancy restaurant and find out the food isn't good. Or seeing the football team that gets off the bus and they got some big old boys, they got nice jerseys and everything, but they get on the field and they just can't do nothing. It's like picking up a pecan that doesn't have pecan in it, you know? It's fake. It tricks you, it's deceiving. We don't want to be deceptive. What we practice and what we do is everything. And this is not the only verse that points to this. If we look at Scripture, if we look at Matthew 23:3, it says, Jesus, when talking to the crowd, says this, so do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In high school, I didn't have to study. In high school, it was easy for me. But when I got to college, after the first F I made on my exam, I realized, okay, I need to start studying, I need to start practicing, I need to start doing something. College was so hard, but it taught me discipline. And discipline is what we need for this lifestyle in God. How can we expect to live in this world if we don't have discipline in Jesus first? And Brother Doug was all over it this morning when he said that we need to be in the Word of God and we need to read the Word, not as a story, but to be taught, but to live. Someone told me that the Bible stood for basic instructions before leaving earth. The Word is everything to us, and it is our way of living. We are called to change if we are to be believers in Jesus. So don't think that you can't get over your stronghold of sin in your life. You can get over your stronghold of sin. You can if you believe in Christ. And it may not happen overnight. It may not happen next month. But the victory has already been won in Jesus. So as long as you keep him in the fight, you'll be all right. Keep Christ in your fight of sin until you die. until you die. Which leads me to my next point. We have hope in the King. I understand that temptation in your life may be to do the thing that you very well don't want to do, like Paul was saying. But we have to fight the temptation of the devil. The reason Jesus appeared was to destroy the works of the devil in verse 8. Whoever makes practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. That's why Jesus came. He came to destroy that. When we lose hope of the King, we let the work of the devil prevail in our personal lives. That work being sin and that work being falling into temptation. And most importantly right here, the practice of sinning is the absence of your fight of sin with Christ alongside of you, more so. We cannot defeat sin on our own. If we were able to defeat sin on our own, there would be no point for the cross. I can confidently say that I have never defeated a sin on my own. Zero. But when I put it in the hands of Jesus, the fight gets a little bit easier. The sin starts to cease a little bit. But it's only through Christ. It's only through Christ. And lastly, God will prevail. If you look at verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Our new birth in Christ changes our life of sinning. God's seed abides in us, so that seed may be the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the nature of God. But this scripture is so powerful that it has nothing to do about what we can do. It has nothing to do about what we have to offer, but everything to do about what God has done for us. The seed that He has for us, if we are a child of Him. The seed of God that is in you will never make peace with the pattern of sin behavior. It is that powerful. You cannot keep on sinning. You don't have the desire to keep on sinning. It just won't set right in your heart. I would have to believe that you feel the conviction and the shame of what you're doing and just don't want to do it again. If you're truly trusted in Jesus, God will have His way in you. Which leads me to this last question. Which team are you on? Now, I know we're in church and I think everybody say, I'm on God's team. I'm on Jesus' team. But are you practicing that way? We're all practicing something. We're all doing something. Does the practice that we do, does how we live our lifestyle, reflect the work of God, or does it reflect the work of the devil? That would really pierce your ear. But in verse 10 it says, by this is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So there is no middle. You either have the conviction of your sin, and you know what you're doing, and you know that what you're doing is wrong, and you're fighting that with Christ, or you're not. The Word is effective, the Word is alive, and a little bit of this can change your life. If you allow it, a little bit of the Word can change your life if you allow it. Colossians 1:22-23 says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you who is faithful, and he will surely do it. By believing in God, we are in the process of sanctification. That while we are sinful, He keeps us guiltless by the coming of the Lord Jesus. And this is a promise that He will surely do it. So, if you're like me, when I sin, sometimes I forget that I have an advocate in Christ Jesus for my sin. We have an advocate. Our sins, a lot of times, wants us like to dwell on it. I think that is just the work of Satan. Just to dwell on it and just to dive deeper and deeper and feel like that there's no way out. There is a way out, and it's through Christ Jesus. But you have to give it to Him. You have to give it to Him. That is what the cross is for. That is what redemption is for. It's everything. With the reality of our sin, we need to recognize the reality of our hope that is in Christ Jesus. As I invite Dale up, I just want to finish with this testimony. And it says this. It says, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's Paul's testimony to us. Christ worked through Paul. Paul trusted in Him. And he's able to have that eternal life. And Paul is the man that, you know, killed sinners. I mean, killed Christians. Excuse me. Killed sinners. Killed Christians. Was out there on the hunt for Christians. So, I just want you guys to know that the answer for our sin is Christ. Just give it to Him. Just trust in Him. And He'll take care of it. There's no need to fight on your own. There's no need to fight your battle on your own. Let's stay. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, just thank You for Your Word again and just what it says. And Father, just like that You are an advocate for us. That we don't have to stand blamelessly, Lord, but that we can just come to You with the sin that we have and give it to You, Lord, and ask You to take care of it. Jesus, we love You. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.